We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We learned overnight that President Donald Trump and his wife, First Lady Melania Trump, have tested positive for COVID-19. A lot of test results were getting back and forth. We do know that Vice President Joe Biden and his wife, Jill Biden, have tested negative. So have Vice President Mike Pence and his wife, also negative. It leaves us with a lot of questions about the campaign, about the presidency. We have a lot of what-ifs to get to. And to help us sort through some of those questions, we're pleased to be joined on the line by our friend Bill Lacey from the Dole Institute of Politics at KU. Bill, thanks a lot for being on with us.
Happy to be on with you guys.
Can we talk campaign timeline first for a moment? The next debate comes up, presidential debate, is set for October 15th. And if President Trump ends up having to quarantine for 14 days, no one has said that, by the way. No one said how long he may have to quarantine. What are your predictions about what happens with that debate?
I think it is going to depend upon the seriousness of the president's COVID-19. As you guys know, as we've all heard widely on the news, some people it's very insignificant, and some people it's life-threatening. So we really don't know how bad it is. But clearly, if he's sick, and clearly if he starts showing more serious symptoms, that debate is probably going to be canceled. I don't see any alternative to that.
What about moving forward? Everybody, I think, is you know, kicking around these scenarios about, you know, what if worst case? What if for whatever reason he feels that he cannot continue through the rest of the campaign and conceivably into a second term? What happens in the worst case?
Well, I think in the worst case, the Republican Party, if the president chose to withdraw, and he would have to be very seriously ill, I think,
sure,
to do that. But if the president chose to withdraw, I believe the Republican National Committee would have to select a successor. That would, I'd say, 100% likely be the vice president, mm-hmm, and he would then become essentially the presidential candidate, and the election would be held. So I don't see any way around that.
In that case, well, you're right, because voting's already gone on. So in a case like that, the electors would just be instructed by the party to cast their votes, even though they were cast for Donald Trump, conceivably, the electors would be told to cast their votes for whoever the new candidate is.
I believe that is correct.
So that takes us through the debate. Talk to me about how campaigning is going to work between now and the election. In part now because President Trump maybe can't go campaign in person for the next couple of weeks, but then also, is there heightened awareness now about proximity and COVID-19?
Oh, I think absolutely, Jamie. I think that the real seriousness, I mean, I'm expecting this to be not a crisis. I'm expecting the president to hopefully have a mild case, recover. But the real strategic challenge to his campaign is to start with the Real Clear Politics morning average shows him behind the Vice President Biden by about 7% nationally. On coronavirus, the voters disapprove of the way the president has handled it, 56-40%. So what this does is this highlights what it just brings to the forefront, what has been the president's biggest disadvantage or weakness that he's had during this entire campaign season. It just makes a huge headline out of it. And it also completely undercuts the president's attacks on Vice President Biden for, you know, jokingly about him being in the basement all the time. It completely undercuts that because it shows that the Biden folks were very prudent and smart in the way that they've dealt with this. And it shows the White House has dealt with it in kind of a sloppy, cavalier manner. And I think it's very problematic for the president's campaign.
He does have, though, and I think anybody who has watched him for the last 4 years and beyond knows that he has an incredibly resilient and loyal base. How big that base is, again, is a matter of debate, but they are there. And I wonder if it could conceivably go the other way, that there would be a sympathy play for people to say, well, you know, the guy's sick now. I don't want to vote against a guy who's sick.
Yeah, good question. Prime Minister Johnson in England had a pretty significant bounce after his recovery back in the spring from coronavirus. The problem I think the president has, and it could happen, and he does have a solid base. He will probably get 40% plus of the vote under any circumstances. The problem is that right now he's trailing Vice President Biden and has pretty consistently been trailing him by a margin that's about twice as large as the margin that Secretary Clinton held over the president in 16. But the other real challenge he's got is I don't ever remember in contemporary political history a candidate for president having what I would argue is a quadruple whammy just this week. You had the New York Times story on his taxes. You have his former campaign manager having apparently mental issues, maybe threatening to commit suicide. You have a debate that was a disaster for the president, where 60% of the voters to 28 believe the vice president won. And now he tests positive for COVID-19, which he has basically believed and made clear to people was not that serious a big deal. And it is going to be a remarkable challenge for him to come back. Having said that, he has exhibited an extraordinary resiliency. He has survived a lot of stuff in the past that would have brought down normal political leaders. So the question is this time, is there just too much?
One of the texts that we've been getting, in fact, we just got it again on the text line, from several people suggesting if President Trump, and of course we hope for a speedy and healthy recovery and that he does just fine on the other side of this. Several people have asked us, if that happens, if he emerges from this really healthy and recovers just fine, does his messaging become, see, I was right, it's not that bad?
Gosh, I think that's kind of hard to carry with 200,000 Americans dead already and unfortunately likely to have more. I think that's a very difficult message to carry, and I would be surprised if this, you know, accrues to his benefit in any significant way.
So let's take a look at these next couple of weeks, because there has also been speculation even prior to this, going back weeks ago, that the president had kind of made overtures about potentially delaying the election for one reason or another. Do you expect to see him say, okay, in this case, it's not fair, I don't get to campaign for the next 2 weeks, we need to put the election off? Can he try to make another play at that?
He could say that, guys. But constitutionally, there is no mechanism for him to do that. And we saw when he mentioned recently about perhaps, you know, pushing back on transition and stuff like that, you saw how quickly Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, came back and said there will be an orderly constitutional transition. There is not going to be an audience for that kind of argument other than the president's base. And I just think that would be an awfully difficult argument to make. And I don't believe that there is any way constitutionally that can be done.
If you were advising President Trump on what to do now for the next month left of the campaign, what advice do you give him, and how public does he need to be?
Well, that's a heck of a question, Jamie. My sense would be that, first of all, assuming he maintains mild symptoms, he needs to try to do some things that will allow him to be quarantined but keep his base motivated. And so I would be looking for things like conference calls. I expect him to keep tweeting all the time. He's going to do those kinds of things. But what really the big issue here is that sometimes the weight of the political environment gets so heavy and is so negative that there really is no way for a person to overcome it. And I'm not saying we've reached that point with the president yet, because he has shown remarkable ability, as we've talked about, to survive things that other political leaders that I've seen previously would have had no chance of surviving. But this has been an awfully difficult week, and this diagnosis is probably, or this positive test has probably been the greatest blow that possibly could have happened to his campaign.
So let's take a look at the other side of that coin. Already this morning, Joe Biden and Jill Biden sent out a message with thoughts for a speedy recovery for the president and for Melania. Aside from, I mean, that's de rigueur. Aside from that, though, what does Joe Biden do now?
I think he just keeps doing that. I think he struck the right tone this morning. I think he will continue to do that. He knows how to act in a situation like that. I think that the thing that the Biden campaign has to really guard against are some of their allies on the left popping off and potentially creating backlash. So right now, I think the Biden campaign will handle it perfectly, but they want to make sure that everybody else on the Democratic side kind of follows the pattern that they've established this morning and doesn't get off message on this topic, because it could blow up in somebody's face relatively quickly.
Bill, I'm going to ask this question anyway, even though things have dramatically changed since when we originally were to get you on. Originally, we were going to have you on this week to talk about how the first presidential debate went earlier this week and the disaster that was, and the presidential commission coming out the next day and saying, whoa, 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 we're going to make some changes to the next debate. And I realize that's maybe a moot point right now, but if we end up having presidential debates at this point, how do you think they're going to look?
I think that probably what they would do in terms of adjustments, the big adjustment would basically be there's got to be some way for the moderator to instill some discipline. The best way to do that is simply allowing the moderator to have an individual's mic cut off if they're not abiding by the rules. But going to the bigger picture here is I really do not understand what the president was trying to do the other night. I do not grasp his strategy, unless it was to simply, throw the vice president off. And I don't believe he succeeded in doing that. As a matter of fact, that kind of tactical approach kind of covered up any real opportunity for the vice president to make a gaffe. And he's been known to make significant gaffes in the past, but
yes, he
has spared him from that. So I still do not understand what was on his mind, and I don't believe that there is any empirical or objective way that you could argue that the president won the debate or even held his own.
Well, anybody who's been conscious for most of 2020 knew that this was going to be a crazy ride right to the end. And Bill Lacey, we look forward to talking to you again between now and Election Day. Bill Lacey, of course, the Dole Institute of Politics at KU. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and taking us through these incredible developments.
Happy to do that, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Always good to talk to you. Bill Lacey from the Dole Institute of Politics at KU.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.